What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. And we're talking with Layla in Ontario, who is bringing some clarity to the traditional story of Jesus. And Layla, I am well aware that the Orthodox account of Jesus and Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem was pretty much created by the Council of Nicaea. And they weren't trying to be historically accurate. They were trying to basically spin a story that would, you know, sell the religion. I mean, they didn't even get his name right. Yeshua, translated directly into English, is Joshua, where Jesus came from.
No, it's not Mike. His name was fabricated after the Romans used Greek to create the Bible in order to deflect attention from themselves.
That's what I was about to say before you cut me off. The problem, the confusion came from translating the original Aramaic into Greek and then the Greek into Roman. And that's how Yeshua became Jesus.
Forgive me, Mike. I spent decades researching the topic with people who know, as well as with Aramaic priests and Greek priests. The book was written in Greek in order for the Romans to deflect attention from themselves. They created that religion because it taught that you were supposed to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and your reward would come in heaven. So that way they could subdue the rebels. But let me get back to the concept. And his name was created afterwards. Once the myth was created, he was given the name Ishal, which means Savior. Who knows what his real name was at the time he was born? I don't dispute that there was a historical guy who tried to be the Messiah amongst many messiahs, because his job, if you're going to relate it to the Judeo-Christian tradition, then the Judaic prophecy was for a Messiah, an anointed king who would save them from the occupation of numerous empires, not just the Romans being only the latest. But even if the Romans were doing a census, the purpose was for taxation. So why would a logical man like Augustus say, you have to go off to where your ancestors were purportedly born in order for us to enumerate your assets? They would have enumerated or looked at Joseph's assets where he was living in Nazareth. But Joseph was either a relative, since relatives often married, he may have been betrothed to her. But the Canaanites had a nasty habit, and which the people today still practice, of stoning women who are pregnant out of marriage. So he took her to Egypt, where sexuality was extremely liberal. On his way to Egypt, she may have fallen into labor, and he would have taken her to a house of relatives, where the relatives, if they had sheep and goats, would have kept them in the lower level, which is where the manger would have been, and that would be the warmest place to put any newborn baby. But the concept of Jesus being connected to the Judea, this is one thing that really bothers me. Actually, one of many things. The Judeo-Christian tradition. Judaism was full of warlords. Jews and Christians were constantly killing each other. If you look, have you ever heard of Nestorius? The Nestorian tradition is what gave rise to the council that you talk about, because Nestorius said it was wrong to call Mary the mother of God, that she could, it was an obscenity. To him, you could only call Mary the mother of Jesus. And because Nestorius said that, he was executed eventually by Cyril of Alexandria, and he was considered a heretic. Then they convened the Council of Nicaea, which you talk about, wherein they created this tripartite Christ. I went through life with the sign of the cross. And I remember my uncle saying, don't make the sign of the cross, it's the sign of death. And by the way, crucifixion was extremely common. The Assyrians were very, very talented at torture. Not only did they, I mean, they're the ones who invented crucifixion and taught all the torture to the subsequent empires, including the Roman Empire, who was so gifted at torture. But they learned it while they were in the, quote, Holy Land.
Yes.
The whole concept of Jesus as being God incarnate, this is why the Jews hated the people of the time, the Judeans, the people who followed the Hebrew faith, found Jesus such a profound heretic. If he claimed that he was the exclusive and unique Son of God, that made everyone else mere cattle. So they objected. And secondly, it was an absolute obscenity to say that God was going to assume human form, because in the Judaic religion, no icon could even be made. The calf, the golden calf, could not be worshipped. So here comes this group of people who say Jesus is the Son of God, and we're supposed to worship him as God himself, incarnate. The whole thing is an absurdity. I say this after Christmas because I hope everyone enjoyed their fantasy. Now, I was born in Bethlehem, baptized in the Church of the Nativity. My parents were married in the Church of the Nativity. I attended Catholic and Orthodox, Christian Orthodox schools, and I was baptized as a Greek. So I am not by nature, by birth, a heretic. What I have done is extensive research, and I am so sick of hearing this story about, oh, Jesus then, you know, was born in Bethlehem because Joseph had to go to Bethlehem. No, he was rescuing Mary from being stoned. And he may well have been the father. He may not have been the father. He may have married her out of honor, just simply because she was part of the family. Family honor was already a huge issue. So,
well,
now all of this
Hang on a second. There's one of the stories that I uncovered when I was doing my research that said, and it's kind of interesting because Monty Python, in their movie The Life of Brian, they actually include this as part of their storyline, was that Mary got raped by a Roman centurion by the name of Pantarius.
That's what they say.
Say again?
That's what they say. I doubt it. You know, if she was raped, she would have been stoned, because nobody would have, even her family would have stoned her. Because even as late as the 60s, if anybody was born by rape, the child was either killed as well as the mother. I'm talking 1960s. If the child was a product of rape, especially by someone who was abhorred, like the Roman soldiers would have been, and they weren't, you know, the baby would have been killed. The mother would have been killed. I know of one person who is second or third cousin to me. They do not know who his, he did not discover that he was not even Armenian. He was given away through the Armenian church to a family, to an Armenian family in a nearby country. And he was told he was Armenian until he did his DNA ancestry and discovered that he was actually from the region of Palestine, and he contacted me to see if I knew anything about it. All my relatives said, "Bah, I don't know anything about it." But there used to be nuns that would go around collecting babies wrapped in newspaper left in alleyways to die.
Yes.
Because they were born illegitimate. So if that was true, that Mary had been raped by a Roman soldier, she would never have told anybody, because she knows she would have been stoned and then the child would have been killed. That is not likely. It's
well, definitely a good reason for Joseph to get her out of Dodge here. Anyway, Layla, thank you for the journey down memory lane. But we do have some more news to do. We do have another caller waiting on the line. And so I'm going to say aloha to you and happy Boxing Day. We're going to do a shout out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. And we're going to switch over to Mark in Georgia. Aloha, Mark. Thank you for waiting patiently. What's on your mind?
Well, one, I think a point of clarification, the front site promotion, RPM will not be allowed to promote it on the website, but if you know how to get in touch, I think his name is Dan Schlesinger, who's he's the guy that's going to be in charge of basically collecting funds and setting up the thing, but he said, you know, you can do this anytime, you just can't do it on RPM, and I guess if anybody called in and asked, you have to tell them, because personally, my issue is that apparently, Big Brother thinks I'm ungood, so they denied me permission to procure a firearm for some kind of record foul-up, even though I've never been indicted, prosecuted, or convicted or pled guilty of any felony, forcible misdemeanor. I don't know if anybody's got any kind of restraining order on me or any of that nonsense, so I don't know what they have on my record, but it's a mistake. And so that's my issue about the front sight thing. Just to be clear, you can't promote it on air, you can't promote it on the website, but it is still an ongoing thing to bring in money for RBN, and I intend to get that. But I do want to get this thing cleared up first, because...
I think we do need to get it cleared up, because my understanding is that Monday is the deadline, and after that, it shuts down. By the way, his name is Dan Sutterfield. Not Schlesinger.
Thank you. Yeah, but okay. Touch base with him, because what he told me is RPN is not allowed to promote it on there or on the website, but it's still an ongoing thing. You just have to know who to get in time contact to do it. But I would like to offer a suggestion that I've gave thought to is they call them undocumented, uninvited guests. I call them uninvited guests. But if we had a thing called provisional documentation, and it should be run on a state level, because I look at how the federal government has screwed up everything. But I think that we should have a way that if somebody doesn't have any kind of a green card or any other kind of papers, like, here's the deal. We're going to take a photograph with stereoscopic 3D so we can identify you, any distinguishing mark for tattoos, especially gang-related tattoos. Take your digital fingerprint. And maybe you can give them a voucher for a, you know, it's like within 30 days, you need to go to see a doctor to make sure you don't have communicable diseases. But the point about the provisional identification is to at least get a handle on the people that are here that did not follow the proper protocols, or quite commonly, they overstay their visas, right?
Yes.
So that was, I don't think that's an alternative. Ask this lady, God bless her, but I don't know where she got her information. The first Council of Nicaea was about the issue of the doctrine of the Trinity versus what was called the Arian heresy, which, that was the majority view before the first Council of Nicaea. They debated it, came out with the doctrine of the Trinity, and I don't really want to go hashing out about doctrinal issues, but I don't know where she's getting her information. But here's one thing, one minor thing. I looked in the Septuagint and the book of Joshua. That's where they translate between the Old Testament and the New Testament. They took the Old Testament and translated it into Greek because it was a common language. And there were people growing up Jewish that didn't speak Hebrew, so they translated the Old Hebrew into Greek. That's LXX is the designation for the Septuagint. And in the Septuagint, the book of Joshua is spelled the same way that Jesus is spelled in the New Testament. And I looked that up for somebody who had some misconceptions about, you know, the consonantal iota, which became the letter J. But that confuses some people, and I'm like, look, you're free to believe whatever you want, but don't believe things in reaction to some bad idea that you go overboard about. Because, you know... Mary and Joseph went to Egypt because basically they were warned to flee because Herod issued a decree that all children under 2 years old be killed.
True.
And they were warned. Now, she doesn't accept that. That's the canonical account. I'm not going to be a dogmatic about that because I don't see any benefit to being to majoring in minors. To me, dogma means a human consensus that's been given a bit more authority than it really ought to have. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, but you need to understand, first of all, the Council of Nicaea was an effort to reconcile all the various different Christian sects of the time who all had very different ideas about what was going on. Mm-hmm. They were all using different texts and documents, and so Nicaea basically created the canonical Bible as we know it. Every book that was in it was written decades after the death of the historical character of Jesus, Joshua, whatever, decades without CNN, decades without libraries. But the Council of Nicaea is where Jesus was declared to be divine, and Layla is correct in saying this did anger the Jews who were still waiting for the Messiah to come and save them. Jesus was a revolutionary. He did try and challenge for the throne of Judea. That's why they put that sign on his cross, the King of the Jews. Anyway, listen.
Mark, you gotta go. I will some other time. All right. Happy New Year, and I hope you have a merry humbug.
All right, thank you very much. We're going to let you here and go here. And no, we're not a religious show, and I'd rather not get into it. I have been informed by our control room technician that the front site deal will be available indefinitely after the new year. So Mark in Georgia was correct about that aspect of it. And I don't know if we're forbidden from advertising it, but we'll sort that out as we get into the new year here. Okay, finishing up on the economic news, car production had a very, very bad November. In fact, it was the worst November since the financial crisis back in 2008. This is all taking place amid the Brexit mess. This is British car production. A lot of car companies, they're overproducing vehicles. They can't get rid of them. There are holding lots all over the place here. Now, here is a good example of where political correctness and the open borders agenda went horribly wrong. Now, there are these two women, Louisa Jespersen and Maren Uland. And apparently, when they went to university, were saturated with moral relativism, contemptuous of absolutes. Apparently, there's no dispute between people that can't be settled by mutually respectful dialogue, and that all the troubles in the world today are primarily the fault of the U.S. and Israel. So these two girls from Scandinavia just decided to go to Morocco, secure in the belief that Islam is a religion of peace, and only racist, bigoted Islamophobes think otherwise. And apparently they ran into some Islamists who gang-raped them and then beheaded them and sent the video footage to their mother. Now, not all Muslims behave this way, but enough of them do where you have to be very, very careful. Back in Sweden, their national TV is under fire. SVT has come under a storm of criticism for the way they covered this double murder of these two women in Morocco. And a lot of viewers complained that the state broadcaster seemed more concerned by the video of the killing being spread, because it's all over the internet now, and it is very grisly, than the murders themselves. They're saying the media in Sweden is hushing it up. They didn't even say the girls were beheaded. They simply said they had throat wounds. So they're still pushing that whole globalist blend everybody together. All right, we're going to take another break for commercials. We will be right back. Thank you.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Attention RBN listeners, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working 2 jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And apparently they've got protests going on down in Tunisia. The whole world seems to be rising up here. That ties in with this next article. This is from Sputnik News, talking about how there is a growing pushback against open borders and globalism. And the European migration crisis has reshaped the way governments handle border control. And those who are opposed to mass migration are starting to win elections. So Angela Merkel is still pushing her open door policy, but then you have Viktor Orban's Europe is under invasion perspective. So it's starting to get contentious here. Speaking of Viktor Orban, he came on out with a very common sense statement. Europe will be stable and successful only if it remains European. That's definitely a very, very good idea. And again, lest I start getting all the hate mail, I'm not against immigration. I'm against illegal immigration that is running without any controls or restraint. There is a legal immigration process to go through. And for those who've gone through it, welcome. I hope we're not proving to be too much of a disappointment. Okay, last week, end of last week, there was a big dust up over at Gatwick Airport where there were reports that drones were flying over the runway. And it led to a shutdown of the airport with 140,000 passengers being affected. Many had to cancel their holiday plans. Everybody was looking for the perpetrators. Two people were arrested but then released and exonerated. Now, police said they had 67 reports of drone sighting, which they called credible. But apparently, nobody got one of them on video. And police are starting to say there's a possibility there never was a drone at Gatwick. Somebody just said, I think I see a drone. Everybody else said, oh, yes, I see it, too. And it just went completely out of control. Okay, apparently there was a major problem with families who bought turkeys for their Christmas dinner. And apparently disgusted families are posting photos of rancid turkeys on social media as they blame the supermarkets for ruining Christmas by supplying inedible meat. And apparently the turkeys were purchased from Waitrose, Tesco, Morrison's, Sainsbury's, Marks and Spencer, Asda, Aldi, and Lidl. And they were actually rotten to the point of being inedible. So, supply chain issue or just a greedy retailer here? Okay. Up in British Columbia, there is this imam, Yunus Kathrada, who basically came on out during his sermon for the Muslim youth of Victoria, saying that to say Merry Christmas is worse than murder. And he's talking about Muslims saying it to their Christian friends. So Twitter is going to work on him as well. Okay, here's an interesting story. And again, it's political correctness run amok. Over at a London shopping center, they installed or painted a series of parking spaces aimed at promoting diversity. 24 new white-painted signs were created to celebrate modern families, including same-sex couples and single parents at Westfield and Shepherd's Bush. Now, some of the icons were easy to decipher. Others had customers scratching their heads, wondering if it was okay to park there. Now, the signs for same-sex couples were relatively obvious, but more obscure ones such as grandparent, guardian, and child, and pregnant mother with female partner and baby proved more difficult. And the parking spaces were an attempt to challenge the traditional mother, father, and child signs seen across the country. Not working out very good. Okay, Japan has decided they're going to pull out from the International Whaling Commission starting next year in order to resume commercial whaling in July after a 30-year pause. Well, it wasn't that much of a pause because there was a provision in the 1946 Convention for the Regulation of Whaling that allowed whales to be killed for scientific purposes. So Japan was sending whaling ships down to Antarctica. And every time they would kill a whale, they would hold up a sign saying, we're doing scientific research for the benefit of Greenpeace and the Sea Shepherd, who were down there trying to stop it. But now Japan has just said, we're getting on out of it, and we're going to go back to commercial whaling. Just deal with it. Again, from the world of political correctness, last week, everybody was talking about all these things that got banned. Oh, you can't have Rudolph the Red-Nosed reindeer. It shows bullying and insensitivity. Okay, we got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle, feeds our body with the nutrients we need to keep healthy. Just listen to what Arthur had to say.
I was just wanting to tell you what a great product you have. I had used this about 10 years ago after I had congestive heart failure. And it fixed me up and got me going for the last 10 years. Lately, I've been having heart trouble again, so I placed another order because this was the only thing that ever worked. And I just wanted to let you know that you have a great product. Thank you very much.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no way, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse so every...
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we were talking about how in the run-up to Christmas, the PC social justice warrior types were out there basically attacking Christmas icons. The animated Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was deemed inappropriate. It showed bullying and insensitivity. Frosty the Snowman and White Christmas were declared racist and things like that. And one of the traditional Hollywood songs, holiday songs rather, Baby It's Cold Outside. Now, this is almost 7 years old. It won an Academy Award. And it's just a couple who are obviously ending their date. And the guy wants the woman to stay. And he's saying, baby, it's cold outside. And she's singing it to him as well. So they went on the attack saying, this is promoting date rape. This promotes date rape. This song has got to go here. Well, over at WAKY-FM, Chris Randolph basically played different versions of the song constantly for several hours last Sunday. Try and say, yeah, we're going to stand under our First Amendment rights. Okay, over in Colorado, Baker Jack Phillips Phillips, you may remember him. He got global attention for refusing to bake a cake for a gay couple's wedding, went to court over it, and the judge basically ruled that, yeah, it was a little bit of silliness here. Well, apparently he's back in court over the allegations that he discriminated against transgender lawyer Autumn Scardina when he denied her request for a transition day cake. Now, I have to ask if Autumn Scardina deliberately sought out Jack Phillips to target him for another lawsuit or to get her name in the papers. I mean, given the press Jack received over the previous incident, she had to know who he was. Now, as you know, Daniel Craig is currently making what will be his last James Bond movie. And all over the Twitterverse, there are already calls that the next James Bond should be transgender. And it's met with a great deal of sarcasm. You know, that they want a transgender woman to play James Bond. And Twitter people are saying, what about a female Thor, a vegan Batman, or maybe 007 can be a cat? And what about a bisexual Godzilla? Now, apparently the director, Dominic West, is saying that, yes, Bond could be portrayed by a transgender woman. And he's already found one, Hannah Graff, who is the highest-ranking transgender soldier of the British Army. Well, I'm going to make a forecast right now that this is going to be a disaster. We know that when comic book publishers went PC and sort of toned down the sexuality of their female heroes, sales dropped. The ratings for the new female Doctor Who have not been that great. They had a high opening, but week after week, the numbers kept dropping and dropping and dropping. Don't mess with the formula. Apparently over on Facebook, they're facing a lot more criticism. More of their misdeeds are being revealed. And there's apparently a great deal of pressure to oust the company's current leadership team of Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg. Facebook itself is looking at possible serious legal situations. And this all began back with the New York Times revealing that Facebook had shared user data with Cambridge Analytica. And it seems like ever since then, every month goes by, there's the revelation of some new scandal. And there have been stories about Facebook letting its users' private data be breached, but nothing on the scale of a New York Times investigation that was published last Tuesday, where the New York Times admitted it was one of the companies that had Facebook-approved access to private user data from Facebook. And apparently the bombshell from the New York Times was that information from Facebook was mainly shared with major tech companies like Microsoft, Amazon, and Spotify. And the New York Times was one of nine media organizations that also obtained special access to things like a user's friends list. Now, disclosing this information violated Facebook's normal privacy rules. It was meant to help companies better target consumers while raising internal advertising revenues. But for companies like The Times and Netflix, access to the data of 2.2 billion people would effectively be a gold mine here. But a lot of people are saying this may be the last straw. Facebook may be doomed for allowing user data to be compromised. Facebook just gave it away. This is not a hack. This is not a leak. Facebook just went to these companies and said, look, we're going to let you pour through our user data. And the outrage is growing. And again, there are demands for Mark Zuckerberg to resign. I think what we need in this country, we need a consumer privacy protection law with teeth in it, meaning that when some organization like a Facebook or a Twitter or a Google loses track of our private information, that they can be sued. We don't have one right now. That's why they're abusing us this way. It's not illegal for them to do what they're doing. Apparently, Washington, D.C.'s attorney general has now filed a lawsuit against Facebook for allowing Cambridge Analytica to improperly access data from as many as 87 million users before the 2016 presidential elections. So, now, do you remember that story we talked about last week where apparently there was a Democratic operative who set up all these phony Russian sites and Facebook pages and tried to basically swing the election down in Alabama away from Roy Moore by making it look like Moore was being supported by the Russians. So Moore, unfortunately, did lose that election. And apparently, the Democratic operative who came up with that Russian false flag scheme against Roy Moore promoted his own propaganda on the dubious Hamilton 68 website, which purports to track Russian bot activity, yet refuses to say how they do it. And apparently Jonathan Morgan, who was paid $100,000 by liberal billionaire Reid Hoffman to orchestrate this Russian false flag, was exposed last week by the New York Times. All right, we're going to take a phone call here from Al in Canada. Aloha, Al. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. You were just talking about Facebook. Wouldn't the Better Business Bureau apply to something like that at all?
Well, I'm wondering what the basis of a complaint to the Better Business Bureau would be. It would have to be something along the lines of overcharging or preferential charging, or you're not getting the service that you were promised. But I mean, most people, you don't pay for Facebook, so there's no real commerce there. You know, I think we need to stand up and demand a consumer privacy protection law that will allow us to sue anybody who mishandles our private user data.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're right. But I mean, you know, at this point, I mean, it's this sort of thing has been going on for a long time now. You would think that people, you know, would be either getting tired of it or just fed up with this nonsense and just, you know, you can't really delete your account, but just basically delete your account. And, you know, never go on it again. I mean, I did that about 7 years ago or something. Six or 7 years ago when, you know, I got tired of it. I mean, even, you know, I'm watching you on YouTube, and this is how bad it is. I'm looking at the right-hand side of the screen. You can see the other videos that are lined up. And there's a couple of videos in there of the same people that I watched on YouTube, a few days ago. So they're tracking. They're not supposed to. I'm using Firefox with Do Not Track, but they're tracking anyway. It happens on eBay.
Okay.
You know? I mean, this is just continuous. It's going on and on and on. So, obviously, like you suggested a while ago, you switched to DuckDuckGo and other platforms. I mean, I do use DuckDuckGo and StartPage, but obviously there's nothing else we can do other than just disengaging from this nonsense.
Well, I disengaged earlier this year. I don't use Facebook anymore. I don't use Twitter. I flip back and forth between Google and DuckDuckGo, depending upon the capabilities I need. StartPage, I think, uses the Google engine, so I'm not sure about what's going on there. But you're right. These so-called privacy buttons don't really seem to work, and either it's a case of the browser manufacturers doing a nudge and a wink with all of these data collection companies, or the data collection companies simply figure out workarounds to get around the privacy blocks.
Or they just don't care. They just ignore it. Because, I mean, yeah. After all, it is just, you know, do not track. I mean, what does that really mean? It's a suggestion, I suppose, right?
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's like putting your car for sale. Most people will, you know, get a hold of you and lowball you, as if, you know, the price was a suggestion or whatnot. It's the same sort of thing, I suppose. In the end, I think that, you know, in a couple of years, Facebook will probably end up being irrelevant. There's going to be a class action lawsuit. I mean, just like what's going on at Bear. I was reading, you know, that article on your website about them.
Yes.
I'm sure you touched on that earlier. I mean, we're just getting to the point where we're getting fed up. And, you know, these people have got to realize that, you know, they're not really in charge. We are. The consumer and the voter
well,
are the ones that are actually
like
in charge.
Yeah, we have to act like it, you know. And maybe it's time for us to all start buying yellow vests. Apparently it's up in Canada
yes.
now.
That's a good idea, Mike. That's a very good idea.
Yep.
I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. We're going to let you go and clear the phone lines. Okay. Russia is very concerned about going through the global internet because of all the spying that is going on and the hacking. And so Russia is getting ready to invest billions building a domestic Russia-only internet. Now, it'll still connect to the outer world, but for traffic that's operating inside Russia, it will be on the Russian net, where hopefully they can better protect the Russian people from hacking and cybercrime. So I think it's a really, really good idea. And I was really surprised to find out there actually is no law regarding cybercrime or hacking or writing bad code that messes with your system. There ought to be. I don't know why there isn't. Over at Caribou Coffee, it's a chain, and apparently they've had a card breach impacting 239 stores through unauthorized access of its point of sale systems. So they've got 603 locations, 239 were compromised. It's about 40% of all of its sites. So if you do business with Caribou Coffee, and if you used a credit or debit card at one of the affected stores between August 28th, 2018 and December 3rd, 2018, consider your card details compromised and take precautions such as getting your card replaced, reviewing credit card reports, and enrolling in identity protection problems. Now, users can consult the list of impacted stores via Caribou Coffee's data breach notice posted on its homepage. Okay, over in the Congress, the ex-Senator Hassan IT aide, who allegedly doxed senators, meaning outing their names and addresses back when all that harassment was going on, back during the Supreme Court confirmation hearings. Apparently, it's now been determined that he downloaded a lot more information than was originally understood. And prosecutors said they found terabytes of data they're reviewing for the case. But apparently, they're saying that what they're finding is so sensitive, the public would never hear it discussed. So, okay, Rand Hindi, he's a doctor, and he's basically out there talking about artificial intelligence, and we've been talking about general artificial intelligence, and he said, the idea that we're going to get a human-like artificial intelligence like Data on Star Trek Next Generation is ridiculous. Okay, the machines will be powerful, they will be intelligent, but most decisions human makes are actually emotionally driven, and machines don't have that. They're not going to act like humans because they are not human. And it makes perfect sense. Absolutely makes perfect sense. story coming out of Investment Watch blog. Apparently, free abortion drugs are being offered on California college campuses. An OBGYN says, basically, it amounts to medical malpractice. I assume it's the morning after pill here. Meanwhile, good news in Ohio, they have now banned what's called a dismemberment abortion. This is a second trimester procedure where they literally go into the womb and cut the baby into pieces and then extract the pieces. And, of course, the abortion supporters are saying, oh, just a blob of protoplasm, doesn't feel any pain. Yeah, and if you believe that, when I got some of Saddam's weapons of mass destruction to sell you. All right, we're going to take another break for commercials. Back with the last segment of our program after these few words.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I said again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Last segment of our program today here. Now, over in the Congo, the World Wildlife Fund, you've probably seen their commercials all over the place, one of the world's biggest conservation organizations. And they've been in some trouble, some scandals before, and it looks like they've done it again. Apparently, they're backing a new conservation zone in the Congo Basin called the Mesok Ja Park. And apparently, they just created it without the free, prior, and informed consent of the people who live on that land, the Baka and Bakwele tribes. Now, according to national and international law, indigenous people must give consent for any project affecting their lands, territories, and resources. And without the consent of the people, the World Wildlife Fund's establishment of Mesok Ja Park is completely illegal. And so the question is, why are they doing this? It feels like it's more of a land grab. And if they're willing to break the law, you know, what exactly is their motive here? Well, apparently, the land underneath the park means nothing until people decide that they want to develop what lies beneath. And there is the problem, because apparently there are mineral wealth in the ground there. Gold, diamonds, cobalt, copper, and oil are the major resources that are underlying the region. Now, the mining that is there is very small scale, artisanal, and unregulated. And recently, mining groups have targeted coltan and cassiterite, rare minerals used in electronics such as mobile phones. So it looks to me like World Wildlife is basically going for a land grab to make the land available for industrial development. And that's a tacky no-no. But what they're doing is illegal, and I hope the Congo government does stop them here. Residents of Boulder, Colorado have until tomorrow to certify their assault weapons or remove the firearms from city limits. Those who fail to comply could face fines, jail time, confiscation, destruction of the firearms. Now, the Boulder police say they have certified 85 firearms since the city council passed an assault weapon ban all the way last May. Residents who already owned the prohibited rifles, pistols, and shotguns were given the chance to keep their firearms by certifying the prior ownership with police. The council also voted unanimously to ban high-capacity magazines and bump stocks. Now, apparently over in New Jersey, they've got a new gun law, and apparently everybody is ignoring that. Meanwhile, the New York Times is pressuring credit card giants to monitor customers' buying habits and blacklist all gun purchases. And the Times is out there saying that these banks are financing mass shootings by allowing individuals to use their cards to buy firearms and related accessories. Okay, there's the music. Time for me to get on out of here and get something useful done with the rest of the day. Please stay tuned for John Stedmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Take what you learn here. Take what you learn at the websites. Share them with everybody that you know. Use email, mailing lists, face-to-face. Bring back the art of the dialogue. Social media is now totally compromised and totally filtered. So we'll be back tomorrow, and aloha, America.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.